Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Shelter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Hello, and thank you for listening to The Butterfly Moment. My name is John Shelter.
And I'm Carrie Hall.
We are both life coaches here to serve you. Simply visit our website at butterflylifecoach.com or see us on Empower Radio website, empowerradio.com. We are, as always, here to affirm and know that we are all too blessed to be stressed. Is that correct, Carrie?
That's right, John.
How was your week, by the way?
I'm good. I'm in agreement with that.
Okay. What is the butterfly moment? It is the classic quantum leap. The aha moment of sudden transformation of human potential. It is that moment when a caterpillar breaks through the cocoon and suddenly realizes that it's more than it thought it could be. It is magnificent in appearance, and best of all, it can fly. We believe that these moments in our lives are important, and they must be acknowledged, encouraged, and experienced. It is our coaching philosophy that this kind of dramatic change can be achieved on a regular basis. We ask that if you're interested, get a hold of us, and always remember that the first session is free.
Awesome, John. You can also ask us any questions by going on our website, butterflylifecoach.com. That's butterflylifecoach.com. Or, of course, as John said, tune into empowerradio.com.
Okay. You know, I've been doing something in my life the last couple weeks, and I want to bring it into the radio show. Before going into a meeting, going into court, going into a luncheon, I established an intention. And that intention is to get the most out of that particular experience, get the most out of that meeting. And so today I'd like to establish in our Q&A the intention that we're going to have a great session. It's a beautiful, beautiful day here in December in, you know, Detroit, Michigan. We are so blessed to be embarking on the holiday season. And so we establish now the intention that it's going to be a great interchange, that it's going to be fun, that it's going to be, you know, something that, you know, we're really going to communicate and to enjoy. We are changing, and part of our monthly format is that we are going to, one out of the three, out of the four, change from the interview format to kind of a question and answer. Listeners have been kind enough to email us questions that they would like us to answer on the air. And so the way we're going to do it is Carrie's going to talk about, she's going to give the question so that we know the topic. And then I'm going to talk about it, you know, give my impression. And then, you know, I'm going to hand it over to Carrie. So before we start that, you had a great quote there, Carrie. I was wondering if you could share it with us from, what's the book?
Sure, John. This is one of our favorite books, The Untethered Soul. It's called The Journey Beyond Yourself. It's actually by Michael A. Singer, S-I-N-G-E-R. Once again, it's called The Untethered Soul, The Journey Beyond Yourself. It's really a great book. It kind of like East meets West. So it's talks about our spiritual quest and everyday tribulations, and it has a lot of logic, but it has a lot of, I don't know, eloquence and wit, and it's very intuitive. We were just reading this last night and today, and you know, I think that we're all looking for true freedom, and actually, it's kind of like the butterfly emerging from the cocoon. True freedom is very close. It's really on the other side of our walls that we put up. And just quoting from The Untethered Soul, enlightenment is a very special thing. But in truth, one should really not focus on it. Focus instead on the walls of your own making that are blocking your light. And I think that's really great, John. It means that we're open. We don't participate or support or maintain a fortress or walls.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you have boundaries,
mm-hmm.
but you're just open.
Well, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. And to grow, you have to be willing to open up, and you have to be willing to consider alternatives. You have to different types of thought.
Yes. If you want to grow, I think almost every great speaker says that if you really want to grow spiritually, I guess I should say every great teacher, you'll realize that keeping your stuff is really what's keeping you trapped. It can be your identity. It can be your grievances. It can be your hang-ups, you know. And, you know, if you're willing to let go of that, if you're willing to be open and kind of fly free like the butterfly, you know, actually life is trying to help you. I mean, because at any given time, life is surrounding us with people and stimulations that can help us grow. We always respond, of course, to people who are very positive and wonderful. But what about the people in your life that are not so, quote unquote, positive and wonderful? The people that really challenge you. They challenge your ego. They challenge your sense of self. It's like so many times a day I thank those people and I send them love, because everybody's walking a journey, and some journeys are much harder than others. And it's nice to acknowledge that people who are doing that are also teaching us.
Yeah.
And just zap them with love. Send them love.
I think that you hit it right on the head there, because what I like to do, whether it's a positive relationship or a negative relationship, to consider all the people that I meet to be my teacher, that I've got some sort of lesson to be inspired. Maybe it's a lesson of patience. Maybe it's a lesson in opening up. But everybody, is our teacher. Well, I'm really excited about this format of really reaching out and getting some questions from our loyal audience. So why don't you get started?
Okay, John. We have a question concerning forgiveness. The listener said, it has been about 3 years since my divorce, and I still cannot forgive my husband for what he has done to me and my family. So I think we'll talk a little bit about forgiveness.
Okay. Well, this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. And if there's anything that I think that on a regular basis we need to be reminded of, and we need to consider, we need to look at how we're reacting to people and to the world, and really understand this concept of forgiveness. I love this quote by Mark Twain where he says, "Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that crushed it." So I think bottom line, forgiveness is a very important part of life. And when we forgive, we are essentially setting free ourselves. Because if you don't let go and make the decision to decide to let the hurt and the anger go, it's going to be with you. I remember Jack Bolingkerry.
Yeah, Jack Bolin was a great teacher, Church of Today.
He was a real mentor of mine, and he used to say that, you know, you are going to be sick and tired until, you know, you're through being sick and tired, and you decide to heal. And most of the time that when we're on the end of our rope, frustration is good. And so being committed to forgiveness is the first step, I think.
I think what our listener is communicating is that she's in pain. And when we can be open to the pain, I think that we can use the pain to cultivate wisdom. We can cultivate compassion. We can become courageous.
You know, the one thing I think is important about forgiveness is that it has to come from an authentic place. You know, you have to process your emotion. I mean, you can't just put a sugary coat of frosting on a hurt and really realize that that's forgiveness. And once you've come to terms with where this person is coming from and exactly what they're trying to say, I think that you're more open. And one of the things I think that has taught me in 36-something, I'm embarrassed to say, years of law, is that everyone comes from a certain degree of truth, and that there's two sides to every story. And if we can really reach out and try to understand that the perspective of somebody else, I think that we can authentically and truthfully let go and let God, and really let go of the anger, let go of the resentment, because it's getting in our own way.
It's weighing you down personally, I think.
Right. And if you don't get rid of that, essentially you are imprisoned by that person in your own mind. Because if you're holding on to grievances, you are making payments on a credit card that you've already cut up.
It's like going on a trip and having too much baggage.
Right.
It's really cumbersome. And I know this is all easier said than done, but I think you have to, when you're really in a state of trying to find forgiveness, I think you really have to sit with yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to sit with yourself and say, what am I afraid of? What am I harboring in my heart that I cannot open it to this person, regardless of what they've done to you and to your family? And just to know that everybody is on a path and that everybody is learning and growing. And so many times it's not to our satisfaction.
You know what I think also is that anger and resentment can be such a strong feeling that we can get addicted to that.
Right.
Yeah. Nature abhors a vacuum. And so, you know, if we don't let grow of our grievances, we have this little energy inside, and it's, you know, something that we can communicate to other people, and something we can talk about. And the more we talk about, the more it stays and gets ingrained within our
psyche. It adds fuel to the fire. And, you know, our lives are consumed by it. But as a Buddhist say, there are approaches to suffering that can help us. And I think in painful situations, we want to move away from something.
Mm-hmm.
But the Buddhists teach us to sit with us and to actually move toward painful situations just to the best of your ability, you know, with a open mind, with a curiosity, which almost like a friendliness that will relax us. And in the midst of all this chaos that we're feeling in our heart and our soul, we can be still,
mm-hmm.
and find some peace and hopefully find some forgiveness.
Yeah.
I mean, find some love and just be open. Just be open to looking for practices that will help us reverse our negative thinking or negative habitual patterns. You know, think of ways to be still in the middle of chaos, and just to cultivate a compassionate social interaction with anyone at any time.
Exactly right. And I think that the gift that you give when you forgive is to yourself, and you allow a degree of peace, you allow a degree of intuition, you allow a degree of clear thinking, that's going to pay off. And so hopefully, you know, if you're hanging on to something that's a result of a divorce, get some coaching, read some books, and you know, things can change.
And we all know that real transformation takes place when we can let go of our attachment to people, places, and things, and give away our, you know, possibly our deep-rooted patterns and
okay,
be open.
All right, thank
well,
you.
Well, I hope we helped in some way. I know it was a lot, but keep working on it. I think that, you know, visualize where you want to be. Visualize the person you want to be. Visualize opening your heart.
It's like playing a musical instrument. You know, it all demands a certain amount of practice. And as you practice, you get better at it. And the great thing I think about forgiveness is sometimes it can lead to an enriched relationship with that person. How many times have you heard of, you know, divorcing couples that were battling that eventually have become best friends?
I think that we've seen it in our own personal life with friends who have been divorced years ago, and now they're actually really good friends. And I know that sounds so crazy when you're in the middle of something like this, but just hold a good thought. We're going to hold a good thought for you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Next, what do we have here?
Missy writes about gratitude. She said that she's new to the area of self-improvement and that there are so many things to work on. I agree, Missy. And her question is, well, where do I start?
Well, you know, I always say that the most important tool and the most important thing that you can work on is your sense of gratitude. Because grateful makes everything better. Gratitude is the
ultimate. I thought that was butter makes everything better.
I guess,
or
well.
Bacon, but gratitude, no.
The attitude of gratitude is the state of mind that you want to have, because if you are grateful for this day, your relationships, you're going to find that it's an antidote to stress. That it's impossible to be grateful and stressed at the same time. And what I've found is that there's different dimensions to gratitude. That we can be thankful of things like, you know, our parents and our friends and our coworkers. But what about the people who are behind the scenes? What about the mailman? You know, what about our doctors? What about the people who have made the bricks to make our house? I would suggest, and this is what I do, when I get up in the morning, the first thing that I do is list 10 things that I need to be grateful for. And what I find that this sets a platform for me to really go after my day in a way full of peace and really sensitive to, you know, the ideas that exist in life.
It's nice also to be grateful to the people that you see every day, you know, to your spouse. I know I hug our golden retriever every day, and I just say thank you for being with us. I'm very grateful.
Absolutely.
Animals teach you to be in the moment. They're so loyal, kind, loving, but just love to reach down and inhale them and just say thank you for so much for being with us,
and
Bella.
And if you want to know where to start with an attitude of gratitude. Okay, what's our third question?
You know, John, I just wanted to say, I know you always like to say that, you know, to have an attitude of gratitude and just, you know, start with the basics. You speak the words, you have the feeling, you write them down. It's just so easy when you're new to the area of self-improvement that, you know, to be overwhelmed that there are so many things to work on. And I think it's great. Start with having an attitude of gratitude, and it changes so much of your life and your relationships. And the old Chinese proverb says, when eating bamboo sprouts, remember the man who planted them. So be grateful for your food, for your life, for your relationships. Relationships, I think, we tend to take for granted, when truly in the Buddhist tradition, they teach us that they are holy and they're rare, as is our life. Even to be born is such an honor and a blessing. And to have any kind of relationship in your life is an honor and a blessing as well.
Right. And a big part of my gratitude is on days, beautiful days like today, to be able to come into a radio station and to communicate to the wonderful people out there and develop a relationship with them. It is just such an honor, you know, that I'm grateful for.
And we're very thankful and honored for all these emails that we've been getting. And if you have any questions, please go to our website, butterflylifecoach.com. And you, too, can have your questions answered on air to the best of our ability.
Okay, we're running out of time. We need one more question.
Okay. How about Lisa writes that, I have a friend who's going through some emotionally challenging times. What can I do to help them?
Hmm. Well, I think that the first thing that I always focus on is that if I have a friend that needs me to listen, to be fully focused, to be fully present for them. I had the occasion the other day to be walking through a park, and there was a father there who was watching his kids, and they were desperately trying to get his attention. And he was on his cell phone and a smartphone. I think he was texting somebody. And it made me think that the gift of presence is probably one of the most important thing. Your awareness and your attention. This, Deepak says, give intention and attention to a person and really, really be present with them is the best gift that you can give. Carrie?
I think that your presence is needed. Your true presence is needed to become aware of beauty, to become aware of, you know, even the majesty of nature, the sacredness of relationships. And I think that when you can be present, you know, whether it's, you know it sounds repetitive, turning off, you know, your iPhone or, you know, just disconnecting from any electronic devices and just have an old-fashioned face-to-face conversation with people and just let them know that you are there for them.
Well, I think that it's really important, you know, in our kind of a attention deficit world that we stop the multitasking and that we become aware of our environment around it. To give an example, you know, probably 3 or 4 days a week, Carrie and I have this wonderful wilderness trail that we go on in Rochester, and we'll bring our golden retriever out there. And it's just an inspiration to watch an animal, especially kind of a hunting dog, because they are so in tune with everything around them. They're in tune with the smells. They're in tune with how things look. They're in tune with how they feel. The person in front of them, the dog that may be approaching, the river that goes beneath the bridge. And it's such a lesson. And there's really, I think, an opportunity with our animals to really understand how that works. And
I think,
we can really be sensitive to the environment around us.
Well, I know when I'm with Shelby, our golden retriever, or Bella, I just feel delighted. I can't describe it. I delight in their presence. So I think that, you know, whether you are alone or you're with a partner, a friend, an animal, being present is intensifying your experience. And
you know,
I think animals are so good at being in the moment.
Right.
That's a term from acting class about being in the moment.
Right.
And if we can just take a moment and think about that, how many times are we truly in the moment when the moment is happening?
And you know what? In terms of my experience with coaching, I think a lot of time that we need to just listen and be present for that person. And be fully aware and let them express that we don't have to jump in there. We don't fix things. People fix themselves through a clarity that we can give them, through an awareness that we can give them. And it's an effortless thing. It's just a matter of stepping back and focusing on what this person needs, sending them love, and really, really listening. Carrie?
I like that, John. Just hold a vision for your friend. Hold a good thought and, you know, hold a definite vision for helping people and seeing them happy and you know, just convey to them the depth of your belief and look for answers.
And this is another important thing I think that it brings up. Is one of my favorite authors, and I know that you love him too, is Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist monk from Vietnam, is being mindful. You know, how many times do we eat a meal and never taste it? How many times do we kiss our children or pet our dogs and not even know that we've done it? our awareness to the environment around us, the sights, the smells, the touch, the touches, is our greatest gift. And if we can really tap into that, our clarity is going to increase. Our sense of the environment around us and what people need is really going to increase. And we're going to grow spiritually as a person and become more self-actualized.
Well, thank you, John. Thanks to everyone for being with us today. I think we've talked about a few topics: the importance of forgiveness, the power of gratitude, and the gift of being fully present.
Well, thank you also, Carrie. It is indeed a pleasure, and I want to thank Dylan for the wonderful job that he does in producing these shows. It, you know, we couldn't do it without him. And Brett Carey and his vision himself in creating this radio network. Thank you all, and God bless. Enjoy the holidays.